Hello, this is Jürgen Penner, and it is my privilege to share from God's Word with you now. So I want to begin by sharing something that happened to me a few weeks ago. I had stopped at Walmart in Steinbach after work one day, and after waiting in line to get in and going through all these new safety procedures and regulations just to pick up a couple of last-minute groceries, I was suddenly hit by that moment where I was just done with all of it. You know what I mean? That moment where you think that there's just no coming back from it, that this is just how things are going to be from now on. This is never going to end, and there's just no light at the end of the tunnel. And as I made the long drive home that afternoon, I was not in a good place. And then, later that night, I was getting my kids ready for bed, and we had our time to pray together. And I asked them what they wanted to say thank you to God for, what they needed to say sorry to God for, and what they wanted to ask God for. And my son, Daniel, has been asking God for the same thing for over a month now. Please let the bad thing in the world go away so we can visit Oma and Opa. Every night, without fail, that is his request from God. And I asked him that night if there wasn't something else he wanted to pray for, something different, some other request he might have been thinking about. And he just shook his head and said, "No, Daddy, after we see Oma and Opa, then I'll ask for something different." And that struck me. And it stuck with me after that. And as often happens in those moments, a Bible passage came to mind. A story from the Old Testament found in 2 Kings chapter 6. In this particular text, the king of Aram is so frustrated with the prophet Elisha spoiling his attacks on Israel that he launches a full-scale attack on the city of Dothan, where the prophet is staying. In verse 15, we're told that when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. Now that sounds like a perfectly logical question. The servant is looking out at the world and seeing an absolutely unwinnable situation. Not unlike how I was feeling on that particular afternoon. But instead of panicking or making battle strategies, Elisha the prophet couldn't seem to care less about these enemies on his doorstep. In the next verse, he responds to his servant by telling him to not be afraid, and that there are more soldiers on their side than on the enemy's side. He then prays a simple prayer. "Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see." And that's it. All of a sudden, the servant is aware of the Lord's army on the hills. And he immediately understands that God has the situation completely under control. God is not surprised by the king of Aram. God's plan is not derailed by the king of Aram. All it took for this servant to understand was for him to see the situation from God's perspective. And that's what I needed to do as well. I needed to take that important step back and remember that God has not been caught aware by this crisis the world is facing now. God's plans are not thwarted by what's happening in this world. God is truly in control. And if that's so, then I don't need to worry. I don't need to be afraid, and I don't need to despair. Our God is bigger than this. All I need to do is trust that nothing can happen outside of His control, and regardless of my circumstances, to worship Him to the best of my ability. It's a sobering thought and a wonderful reminder from my 8-year-old son, and one I want to pass off to everyone listening. This word of encouragement: don't be afraid. Don't give up. Don't despair. God is in control, even in the midst of a crisis such as this. God is in control, and He knows what He's doing. Amen. Amen.